Hit her on Twitter. Hit her on Twitter.
Wow, did you just make up a phrase?
I did. Hit her on Twitter and tell her what's up.
What's up, y'all?
What's up, y'all?
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 139, which is a lot. It feels like a lot.
Yeah, it's a big number.
It's Sunday, not Sunday.
Do you ever think back to the early episodes, and if past us could talk to future us, what advice future us would give past us?
Don't forget to wind your watch.
Don't forget to wind your watch, buddy. Mine would be less jokes about genitalia.
Yeah, you think so?
Because one day my students will hear these. That's the truth.
Let's do the rundown.
So on today's podcast, we'll talk about what we've been up to. We're going to talk a little bit about Flappygate, which is, I think, what Ash called it. But
I didn't name it that. I stole that from someplace.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just pretend that you did. So
sure.
We're going to talk about Flappygate. We're going to talk about conventions.
Let's talk about Flappygate, Scott.
It's like, you know, in the back of your, you know, when you have the pajama pants and it's got the Flappygate on the back.
It could mean so many things, but anyway, continue.
We're going to talk about convention season, which is right around the corner, as well as new Xbox indie titles that are being published as part of ID at Xbox self-publishing program. Mm-hmm. In our reviews, Ash is going to talk about Assassin's Creed 4 Freedom Cry, which I'm personally interested in hearing more about. And I played a fantastic mobile game called Threes, which is developed by Asher Vollmer and features music by our pal Big Giant Circles, Jimmy Henson.
I listened to that sound on repeat at work today, by the way.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, cool. It's really good.
And then in our Naquato, it's kind of stupid at this point, but I think it's still a great question because it's my fault. We were originally
Can
supposed to
Can I ask
to record-
you something real quick before you answer this?
Okay.
Were you drunk when you replied back to me?
No.
It's okay if you were, man.
Not at the time.
I mean, it was like dawn, but, you know, you never know.
Not at the time. So, Sunday fun day, man. So in the spirit of Sunday Funday, and we'll pretend as if we are still recording on Sunday like we planned, our Naquato was very simple. What are you up to right now, other than looking at Twitter? And we actually got some great responses.
Yeah, some really good ones. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. There you go.
So today's episode is once again brought to us by Audible.com. Audible is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. Cool. Audible has over 150,000 titles to choose from in every genre. Thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, and more. Audible titles play on iPhone, Kindle, Android, and more than 500 devices for listening anytime, anywhere. Get a free book now on us, and it in turn will support us by going to www.audibletrial.com/ratedNA and go listen to something fun.
Indeed. Thank you, Audible, for your support.
And thank you, people, for your support.
Yes, indeed.
It is good times.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, all you do is you sign up, you get a free book, you show Audible that you're listening, and then we get the little help.
We actually just got another one the other day. I forgot to tell you.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's helpful. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much, everybody. Well, Ash, why don't you get us started?
Okay, what have I been doing? So last night I watched I'm not going to reveal any spoilers, so don't worry, guys. I know you guys are really excited for this. The Walking Dead mid-season premiere popped up because it's been away for a couple months now. Mm-hmm. So
won't spoil anything since season one.
I won't spoil anything. Anyway, it was really good. It was to be as vague as humanly possible.
Are there still zombies?
There still are zombies. Okay. It was out of, I don't know, the dozen or so characters they have at this point. They only focused on three characters. They focused on Michonne and Rick and Carl. And it was really a Carl-centric episode. You got to kind of see this young kid who I don't even know how old he's supposed to be. The timeline's all fucked up because he keeps aging like rapidly because he started off as being like 7 or 8 and now he's like 16, but only like 3 months is supposed to have gone by. But anyway,
it's like Walt on Lost.
Yeah. It's like, what do you do? Like Walt has a beard, but
Walt!
So anyway, the timeline's a little bit flubbed, but it was really good because it kind of focused a little bit on what it's like to be a young person during this apocalypse, and some of the emotions he's kind of struggling with, like trusting his father, and also kind of being stuck between childhood. But there's a great scene where he breaks into a house and he finds like an Xbox, a flat screen TV, all these Blu-rays, and obviously there's no power because it's the apocalypse, and just kind of smiles for a second like, I'm going to get to play video games. Then he realizes like the real situation that he's in, and he like breaks it down and just uses the HDMI cable to like tie up a door. So it's like it was very sad to kind of see this realization, like, I will never be a kid. So it was very subtle, and it was a slow moving kind of like a little bit of a plotting episode, but I really enjoyed it. And what else? I've been playing Assassin's Creed 4 Freedom Cry a little bit. I didn't get a chance to play as much this weekend as I'd like to, but it's good, and I'll talk about that in the review section. And I bought a little gift for myself on Amazon because I was digging through the guest room the other day, and I found a giant stack of old NES games. And my Nintendo's been broken since like probably 1995, so I've been lugging around these old NES games forever. And
as you should.
I know. And I found this cool little system called Retro Entertainment System, which is a knockoff NES that just plays old NES games. And I bought it on Amazon for like $15. And I've been playing like a bunch of old Nintendo games, and it's been super fun. I played like Mega Man 1 and Mega Man 2. And when Matt was over at my place giving my wife guitar lessons, I was playing like Wizards and Warriors and Iron Sword.
Wow.
And Goonies 2. Hell yeah.
So cool.
Goonies
man.
2 still fucking impossible. I don't care.
Right.
Like, I remember being a kid and trying to play Goonies 2 and being like, I don't even get this game. And even now, as an adult, I'm like, where do I go? What do I do? Like, what is. Games used to be so fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's crazy how hard games used to be.
You had to, like, draw the maps by hand.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. So it's been fun kind of going back. And man, Mega Man still looks and plays great. It's crazy how incredibly beautiful that game was for its time.
Awesome.
And I still have all. I have Mega Man 5, the 8-bit cartridges for all of them. So I'm going to be playing through those kind of in the time passing by.
All right.
But, Scott, what are you doing?
Let's see. I'm still playing Sleeping Dogs. I'm trying to finish it. For some reason, I want to complete this game, you know, achievement-wise. So, and I'm pretty close, and I've actually been enjoying playing the game, so I'm just going to stick with it. Oh, I do have an announcement to make. I passed the 100K threshold for GamerScore.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It happened. The game that you passed that 100K with.
It was at some point during Sleeping Dogs it happened.
Ah,
because I looked up and it was 100,000, 69. Because I have like for some reason I got like a 4-point gamer score achievement somewhere along the line. So the last digit in my gamer score is a 9 or a 4 depending on what it is, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I've been playing Threes on mobile, of course. And then since you brought up TV, I wanted to quickly tell you guys and our listeners that I caught up on S.H.I.E.L.D. because we saw each other and you said something about it. And yeah. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I was like, what?
That episode was good, right? What was the train episode called? The episode on the train?
It was called Trackers?
No.
Tracks.
Yeah, but it was all like an acronym, Tracks.
Yeah.
But, hey, at the same time, when you saw that there was a train episode, did you immediately think about Firefly for a moment?
I thought about every episode that's had a train on it, which is every single scripted, like, spy series has had a train episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, it's a fucking train episode. But they did a really good job with it.
I told you guys they're flying a plane around the country, not a spaceship around the space galaxy. So it's different, okay?
That's completely true. Different. Completely
which
different.
Which one's supposed to be the prostitute? Which one's Inara?
I think they replaced her with two science nerds instead of one science nerd.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's how that works.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty much it for me. It's been this week went by very quickly, apparently.
It did. It was crazy.
Yeah. So I'm going to play that. And then I think the next game that I want to start playing is maybe Remember Me. Even though reviews don't look that good, I still want to play it. After seeing Apex.
Stylistically, it's supposed to be really gorgeous. Like, everyone that's kind of from an artistic background, that's one of our followers, is just really heralded that game as just being gorgeous to look at.
Yes.
So you'll have to let us know how that is.
I've heard that the game is not... What's up?
I wanted to play that off of aesthetic alone. Yeah. I just really liked
I heard that the game was not very long to complete. So if I just end up staring at a beautiful environment for 7 to 10 hours, I'll be completely thrilled with the experience. Yeah. All right, Matt, what's up?
I didn't get to game or go to any movies this week, but I had a pretty musical week, I guess. Yeah. I got to go to Queens of the Stone Age on Friday night, which was awesome and weird at the exact same time. It's weird when a band gets to that stage that, like, you've kind of been listening to them for, you know, I mean, God, I've probably been listening to them since, like, 01 or 02, is that right? Probably, somewhere in there.
Sounds about right.
And you know, they were big back then, and it, sort of, but not quite as big as they are now. They're kind of huge now, but they played Hard Rock, which is about, like, 5,000, 4,000 people. And sold out. And the crowd is just such a weird mix of, like, stoners and then, like, you know, like, big, like, frat bro kind of dudes. And, like, the guys behind us in line were like, yo, I took a bunch of Molly and then we showed up and blah, blah. And he was like, it wasn't Molly. We were doing, you know, blow or something. He was like, no, it was Molly. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. It was gross. And it was just a really weird crowd. We saw this dude, like, hammered off of his ass, like, headbanging and then stormed out mid-song for unknown reasons. Like, some girl tried to fight my wife for unknown reasons. Like, everything was just weird. It was just a bunch, like, the way our friend of ours, Travis, was in town, friend of Scott, or I guess all of ours, was in town from DC, and he went to the show with us, and he was like, man, it's a bunch of weekend warriors that don't know how to hold. And I was like, yeah, it kind of seemed like it. It was really weird. People were really, really wasted at it and weren't really holding it together too well. We saw three people get hauled out of the crowd. Big guys.
Wow.
Get hauled out of the crowd and sat down in the lobby with cops standing around them and stuff. And
like the old days.
Yeah. It was odd.
That is not nerd appropriate.
No.
No. People should learn how to behave at concerts. It's a little...
You should have gotten up there and been like, behave!
Yeah.
Just behave!
Behave, large gentlemen.
Well, I mean, like, everybody should have a good time. Like, my theory at shows is always, like, everybody should be able to enjoy and have a good time at the show in whatever way that they enjoy and have good time at shows, as long as it's not, like, impeding on everybody else's ability to have a good time at a show.
Right.
So if you want to get hammered and yell and stuff and you want to do that in the back corner where no one gives a crap, then by all means, get hammered and yell and have a good time. But if you want to get hammered and then, like, run into people and, like, try to throw punches and scream at people, like, it's just like, well, then why just go away? No one wants you here, I promise. You know, like, even the other drunk guy yelling is like, oh, that drunk person's obnoxious. So it was a little weird, but the show was excellent. The band is unbelievable. Cool. Live, and their light show was incredible. They had this huge, like, LED wall that went basically floor to ceiling at Hard Rock, which is pretty gigantic.
Yeah, it's huge.
And then behind that LED wall there were strobes. So the LED wall was, like, not solid. It was just the LEDs. And then they would play video and have strobes firing off through the video while they were playing. And it just looked really cool. It was a neat effect.
That's wild.
And then I played music for a bunch on Saturday with a few friends. And that was a lot of fun. We recorded a bunch of stuff, which is cool. And then, yeah, I gave Christina a guitar lesson that night, I think. Was that Saturday night?
Yeah, it was Saturday.
That's super
she
cool.
She was actually excited enough to keep practicing, so that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a little simple. It's like a little blues shuffle that you can learn that is usable across the guitar. It's pretty easy.
It's all she needs to do is be playing the blues around the house. Yay!
it is honestly the first, like, usable thing that I ever learned. Not the first that I ever learned, but, like, it's a usable thing to teach you how to play, like, up and down the fretboard, and it teaches you a scale in the midst of also teaching you how to play power chords and kind of play a rhythm and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really useful thing. So that was fun.
Cool.
She's a good listener. My wife is terrible at listening, so
she's very patient.
Yeah. It takes a lot of patience because you're not good at something. You know, it sucks when you're not good at something, like, at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then, like, if you're not patient on top of that, it's like, it's really painful to try to, like, learn something that's relatively difficult too. I mean, guitar is not the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And then what did I do Sunday? Sunday was a kind of a Sunday fun day. Hung out.
Mm-hmm.
Some bike shopping. I'm going to get a bike.
Cool.
And that was about it. So I had a pretty...
A chopper. You're going to get a chopper?
Yeah, I'm going to get a chopper with handlebars that are like 6 feet off the ground.
They call those ape hangers.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to get those. A lot
cool.
of chrome. A lot of chrome on it.
Yeah. Do it.
It has wheels.
Nice.
Yep.
Hey, we have an announcement about Hillary.
That's right.
So
Hillary's
one of the reasons
here, have...
why Hillary hasn't been here, Hillary has been working extra hard for a while. She's been kind of like eyeing a position, and she got it. So she got a position as the product marketing manager for EA and BioWare, and she's currently working on Dragon Age Inquisition, which was a dream job for her.
Yeah.
And she's been busting her ass for a while. So it's going to be a little bit more challenging for her to be on because
well,
she
we've
is.
Also, and I think we've said this every time, but we've been recording at like super weird times.
Yeah.
Too, like,
yeah. The past
evening
couple
times.
Months has been hard because of scheduling. So, you know, she's still with us. It's just going to be a challenge. But yeah, she's working on Dragon Age Inquisition. So if you guys want to congratulate her and you have not done so yet, you can send her a tweet. And that's at Hillary Heskett on Twitter. And tell her congrats, and she'll be back sooner or later as soon as the Dragon Age Inquisition madness continues. And she also wanted me to say
awesome.
That the only reason she got that job is because of her hard and diligent work at Nerd Appropriate.
yes.
Actually, I just added that.
I was going to say, is that really what she wanted you to say?
That is not what she wanted me to say.
Yeah.
I'll probably get in trouble for saying that.
It's probably like, in spite of working with Nerd Appropriate.
Yeah. Oh, right. No.
Oh, no. Should add a couple oh no's in there.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, we can do that.
But congratulations, Hillary. We all are super happy for you.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. So that's a huge deal.
Hit her on Twitter. Hit her on Twitter.
Wow. Did you just make up a phrase?
I did. Hit her on Twitter and tell her what's up.
What's up, y'all?
What's up, y'all?
All right. So,
well, you know what else is up on Twitter?
News.
Flappygate.
Okay, so Flappygate. stupidest name. First of all, the first time I heard about Flappy Bird was about 2 weeks ago. I am not a veteran Flappy Bird player. I guess the game's been out since like September or something like that, 2013. Mm-hmm. So it's not even a new app. It's currently for, I think, Android and iOS. Or was for Android and iOS, does not really exist anymore, but we'll get to that. Flappy Bird was this weird little game where you play as a bird and you tap the screen to flap your wings and you fly between pipes. And it was just impossibly hard. And all of a sudden, I started having all these students showing up in my classroom being like, oh my God, Flappy Bird. And I'm telling you, I had to tell them to put it away 100 times.
Wow.
So, yeah. And so, honestly, I can't tell you. Every one of my students was talking about Flappy Bird for about a week straight. This was just about 2 weeks ago, right at the height of like the Flappy Bird madness.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to download it because I was like, I don't want it. Just reminded me a couple years ago, they were all excited about Temple Run, and it would just frustrate me to no end. So we'd like, put your Temple Run away.
Yeah.
You know, do stuff. And now it was Flappy Bird. Well, what ended up happening is Flappy Bird got a lot of really like, negative press from some of the larger gaming publications. Some of the ones, which we won't name here, were saying that they used stolen art from Mario, Super Mario, which turned out wasn't the case. That they were actually fresh pixels that the programmer, what was his name? Dong Nguyen, who is the sole programmer for Flappy Bird, he did not rip off the art or anything. But so lo and behold, what ends up happening is he gets so much negative press that it starts to really kind of depress him, right? And he gets kind of pounded from all angles from a variety of different outlets. And he starts tweeting out all these things about how he's thinking of taking the game down. One of the tweets that I put up here says, I can call Flappy Bird a success, but it also ruins my simple life, so now I hate it. He was also, some people were reporting he was making upwards of $50,000 a day on advertising revenue from Flappy Bird. So this guy, who's a Vietnamese programmer, was making a small fortune on this game. Yeah. And it was like number one in the App Store for a while. The Metacritic score was super low. The Metacritic score was like at 54%. And all of a sudden, the other day, he went on record saying, you know what, in about 22 hours, I'm going to take Flappy Bird down and it's not going to be available anymore at all. And lo and behold, I think it was yesterday, he went ahead and did it. So he took Flappy Bird down, despite it making him $50,000 a day. He kind of, like, you know, vanished. He hasn't been on Twitter or anything since. But if you go on, like, eBay or something now, people are selling their phones with Flappy Bird for, like, $1,500.
It's absurd. Completely absurd.
Yeah. So I knew it was being taken down, so I quickly downloaded Flappy Bird to try it.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty bad. I'm just going to say, there's not like some like hidden, I don't know what, why it became so incredibly popular, but
it's a toilet game, man.
I guess it is a toilet game.
Toilet games are popular.
It's so hard. So I guess the goal of the game is to fly the bird between the pipes, right? And I can only get to like through six pipes, and there are people that have gotten past like pipe like 100. I don't know how the fuck they did it. But
it's because the physics are like super brutal, right?
They are. Yeah. Like you don't tap. I mean, you have to have complete precision.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. I guess the question I wanted to ask you guys is: do you think that what's your opinion on like the media having such an impact on a single developer? Like, do you think that this guy's story is? Do you consider him to be picked on, or do you think it's like you don't give a shit? Like,
I mean, there was one thing I read that kind of bored with me, which was a lot of the press were like going after him for interviews or like at comments and all this kind of stuff. And he basically just didn't respond to anybody. He was just like, didn't do interviews, you know, like wouldn't talk. He would make comments over Twitter and that was about all he really did. And there was like this lashback about like, oh, well, it was kind of like he basically wasn't in the system. And then they got mad that he wasn't doing what, you know, all game developers do for promotion and all this other stuff. Like he wasn't falling down to be like, I want to be on Polygon. And then like, and I don't know if Polygon's part of it, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They would say like, oh, let's do an interview. And he would just not respond or not do it. And then they'd be like, oh, well, you know, what an asshole. He's trying to be like so cool and like outside the system. And it's like, or maybe he just isn't really prepared for all of this and doesn't know what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like there definitely was a bit too much. I don't know why, you know, we're not like a mounted posse. It's just we're, you know, not that we're really part of it, but we're supposed to just be writing stories about games and things that entertain us and that are good. And, you know, I don't know. It's weird. It's like a weird bandwagon to get on to like rip apart a guy and his thing that he made, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I mean, he supposedly coded it in about 2 or 3 days too. Yeah. So it wasn't something that he really spent a ton of time on, but the fact that it made him so much money is pretty remarkable.
I think maybe that's why people are sort of up in arms about it, because such a simple thing is earning one individual so much money. It's almost seems like a jealousy, you know, and they want to tear down the success of somebody else. Personally, if just from a purely, you know, subjective standpoint, regardless of all this other stuff that's happening around the game, these types of games don't even really appeal to me anyways, you know? So whether it was popular, unpopular, or I discovered it in the app store on my own, you know, I never would have, I really don't even understand why there's so much press about this game. I mean, I guess I do, but the game itself is unremarkable.
It's a self-feeding machine though. I mean, that's like how this press stuff works half the time is like, you know, one blog writes a story and then the other blog jumps on it. And then the other, like, it's like they just feed themselves into this cycle of like spinning up and tearing apart or whatever the story is.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that bothered me about it is it did kind of reek of bullying. Like, I don't know why. There was something about it that really, really rubbed me the wrong way. The articles that were written, maybe it's because he wasn't talking to the press and he wasn't really defending himself. But it seemed to me as though a lot of sites were going after this guy and trying to like defame him in a number of ways, just because he was being so successful and he didn't really work like a lot of, you know, I mean, a lot of people work for years and years and years and never make any of that money back. You know what I mean?
You could argue that, you know, the the writing of these additional articles made the game even more popular in the final moments of its availability, right?
Well, I'm sure it did. Yeah. I mean, it prompted me to download it. I was like, oh shit. I'm like, I have to get this because it's going to be gone. And I have to see like what all this hype was about, you know?
Right. And I'm sure many people otherwise would have never even, I know 50 million people downloaded the game, but still in the grand scheme of things, that's remarkable for a game, but you know, there's more people in the world than 50 million. So just the fact that these stories are out there kind of raises an awareness of the game. It, you know, it's almost like free promotion because he's not talking to people.
Right.
Yeah.
It's super bizarre. The whole thing is bizarre.
You know what else it made me think of was the whole Phil Fish and Fez and Polytron thing that happened as well.
No, yeah, I totally agree.
Where this like press machine just kind of like, you know, and granted, I think he reacted in a different way, and I think his ego was a little bit stronger than the Flappy Bird guys, but you know, like in the same way, when he stopped kind of reacting in the way that he was maybe supposed to, it was like an immediate turnaround of like, this guy's terrible, he's an asshole, like what's he even doing? Like it's like, it's just weird to watch this, like, oh, you don't want to be in our system, well then fuck you, or you know, we're done with you, kind of thing. And it's odd. I've never understood it, but it's weirder for this one to see what was clearly something completely unplanned by this kid. It's not like he, you know, set out to make this game to make $50,000 a day and, you know, have like the highest downloaded iOS game in a week or whatever. Like, I don't think that was his plan from the onset. I'm sure he's not. Well, now he's upset about it. I'm sure he wouldn't have been upset originally, you know, at the thought of it. But
yeah, I mean,
I think also people, you know, and granted, it's a lot of money. He could, who knows where he is in life. He should be just making games at this point. But people forget the amount of like, it's not like he's not getting probably daily emails, bug requests, you know, support needed for this thing. Like, there's probably so much stuff he's getting barraged with, and it's just one guy who made a game.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, there's no way he's prepared to handle this amount of usership. 50 million people basically corresponding with one.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane to think about. So
he probably,
it's too bad to see him flame out like this. Maybe he'll make another.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I just hate, I don't know. I guess I really, I don't like when people are targeted in that way. And I don't know the whole story. There might be more to it. But to me, it kind of reeked of bullying, so it bothered me. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what's next?
Oh, let's turn to some brighter news.
Brighter news. So one of the things that Matt and I did on Saturday morning is we ended up getting some tickets to Comic-Con.
Hey.
Yeah.
And I do have to say, thanks. The process went much more smoothly this year, didn't it, Matt?
Oh, totally. But there's controversy.
Oh, is there? Cool.
Well,
I want to hear.
Well, because and it's kind of our own controversy theory, but so when they sent out the initial emails, it went much smoother because basically what they did is instead of saying tickets go on sale at, you know, noon Eastern time, they said everybody go to this waiting room between 10 a.m. and noon. And all you do is you just pull up this page at any point in those 2 hours, and then we're going to grab everybody who's waiting, randomize the order, and then put them in to buy tickets, right?
Yeah, random order, like a random queue, yeah.
Quote, unquote, random queue. The weird thing is Ash and Christina both went in at the same time right away when the room opened up, and both of them ended up at the very beginning of the queue, right after the other.
Right.
When the time spun around to be like, all right, buy your tickets. They were like immediately at the beginning. Mm. And we got in. I had weird things happen. I got in about 15 minutes after they did in the waiting room. And then my page died about 30 minutes later. And I had to like hit enter to reopen the page or whatever. Like I didn't refresh it sort of, but I just kind of like made it reopen. And I never got in. I waited 45 minutes and never got to buy tickets.
Wow.
So luckily they let you buy one person buy other people's tickets, so we all got our tickets covered. But it's just, it was a little weird because Melissa pointed out, she was like, that's weird that they got in right after each other when they went in right after each other, and they both went in right away at the very beginning, and they both got picked right away at the very beginning. So I don't know if it, maybe it was still random, but it was like a weighted system. But
sure,
all of their emails and everything they said was, you could show up 5 minutes before, or you could show up 2 hours before. It won't matter. You're going to get randomized when we pick out who's going to do it.
Yeah,
who's going to buy when. And I'm wondering if they were flubbing a little.
Maybe just a little, because I can see it, I can see them rush, pissing, you know, people off, because if people did wait in that queue for 2 hours like Christina and I did and then didn't get in, people would be like, oh, you know, I didn't know or whatever, you know. So I can see them kind of like you said, flubbing the system. But either way, we all got tickets. For those that like wonder why we're talking about this and why it's a big deal, we go to Comic-Con almost every year now, and it's like 130,000 plus people in San Diego in the middle of the summer. You know, obviously everyone at this point knows what Comic-Con is, but it's getting harder and harder to be able to actually attend this convention. So it's exciting to, you know, to go, and we're of course going to be covering it and stuff. So that'll be a lot of fun too.
And we're also going to PAX.
We are.
Official word. We've been kind of quiet about it because we haven't gotten word for a little bit, but we found out.
Yeah. So we are. We're going to PAX. I guess this is our first non-announcement, but we are going to be doing our pre-PAX party again this year. So if you are a listener and you want to hang out a little bit before PAX, it's going to be on Thursday night, and more details will be coming very soon on how you can come hang out. And
if you went to Prime, we'll be sending an email out probably shortly to anybody who went to Prime to see if they want to go to East, and then we'll get everybody else some sign up information and all that kind of stuff. So it'll all be
put everybody in a random queue,
and then we're going to put everybody in a random queue.
Yeah.
Randomly the same order you came in. And but yeah, we're going to do the same kind of thing. Low key, fun, just a hangout chance to say hi to everybody before the floor madness begins the next day. So
yeah, and we'll actually get to meet a lot of you probably for the first time and see what the heck you look like behind that Twitter icon. So that'll be fun.
That's kind of the best part, right?
It is. It's kind of freaky when you meet someone. You're like,
meeting people in the meat space.
Yeah, your meat space 17.
Yeah. The thing that I remember the most about meeting our friend Amanda Fluidfire for the first time is, I think I said hi to her, and the first thing she said to me was, "You sound in real life exactly like you do on the podcast." And I was like, cool, thanks.
Yeah. You're like, oh, do I?
That's ridiculous. But it's fun moments like that really make the nap worth it for us. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We love putting together. So we'll have more information in the coming weeks and ways that you can sign up and come hang out. And it'll be obviously on Thursday night before PAX. I want to say that's the 10th of April, right?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, 10th of April.
I think so.
Indeed.
So that's exciting stuff.
I was actually just telling a story about our PAX Prime party where, because all of our listeners and friends that came out are so like polite and nice that they were lining up at the bar like in a single or like single file line to wait at the bar to get a drink. And like me being the dumb like old drunkard dude that I am didn't realize that's what everybody was doing, and I walked right past everybody and just got a beer at the bar. And then when I turned around, I looked and realized there was like 15 people waiting in line. I was like, "Huh?" And I just looked at everybody and went, "I paid for this party," and then I just like kept walking.
Like, it's
and I just started
party.
Laughing. I was like, "I'm so sorry." I'm like, "You guys don't have to line up. You can kind of like all go up," and they're like, "No, it's okay." And I was like, "Okay, it's fine."
So, oh boy,
that was fun.
It was a good time. I had a blast at it, so looking forward to this one.
Cool.
Wasn't sure if I was actually going to be able to go, but the stars are aligning. I should already be in New York, and I'll just bus it or train it up there.
Awesome.
It'll be great.
Cool. Well, the last thing on our little news list today is indie titles are finally coming to Xbox One with the ID at Xbox. Is that how you say it, Scott? ID at Xbox?
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah, ID at
Xbox. At Xbox.
So I don't know about you guys, but I was a massive fan of Worms, not actual Worms. I love Worms in my face. I love the game Worms. I've always loved Worms. I can't even remember. I've been playing Worms forever, but I've been waiting for a new version of Worms. So they're coming out with a next gen version of Worms for the Xbox One.
Did you use Scorched Earth too?
Oh my god, dude.
Oh yeah, Scorched Earth. Yeah,
I played like, Scorched Earth endlessly.
All of those physics games were just so much fun.
Gorilla.bass. Like, you know, the basic file.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah, you
that
remember too. That? Yeah.
Yeah, Scorched Earth was so good. But a studio called Team 17 is developing a Worms title for Xbox One, and I'm excited because right now, I'm sure Scott can attest to this as well, there is not shit to download on Xbox One right now. It is like a fucking tumbleweed in a ghost town.
Yeah, there was you know, I got that Halo, the top-down tool, twin stick shooter thing, but I haven't even really played it anyway, so
yeah,
I don't know. There just needs to be more variety, even if you don't end up playing it all. Just having a couple more games in the marketplace just presents I think a better, you know, better overall appearance for what's going on with the offerings right now.
No, I agree. But that's exciting stuff.
Did you see the other game? There was actually two games that they talked about, I think. There was
Ninja Worms. Something, Ninjago Ninja.
Yeah, there's the other game Ninja is Pants. Called I think it's called Nutjitsu. And
what is it called?
Nutjitsu, because it's I know. Let me
Whoa, Scott.
Let me help you out real quick.
Did you hear how quickly Ash perked up to that name? What is it called?
Yeah. Let me fill you
I
in.
Need you to reiterate.
Before you take this in the wrong direction. This is a game that I played at East.
How many times have you played Nutjitsu, Scott?
Nutjitsu? I just played it one time.
Just once?
Yeah, just
it's
once.
A lonely life.
And it was a year ago. Yeah, I know.
Oh, a year ago?
Right, yeah.
You're shooting dust out of that bad boy.
I know. I haven't done Nutjitsu for a year. Anyways, we're talking about squirrels, people.
Okay, like, yeah.
Squirrels and nuts, yeah. So Nutjitsu was a game that I originally played at East on a tablet, which I think I was told was not Windows 8 at the time. I don't know. But anyways, it's from the people that make the Kingdom for Keflings games.
Oh, okay.
And the whole idea is that you are given sort of a Bomberman-style map, you know, top-down series of squares on the grid and all this stuff. And the idea is that you draw a path on the touch interface for the squirrels to follow, and they need to – it's very simple. It's like they have to avoid the guards that are trying to capture them while also getting the nuts, if you will. So it's kind of like a Pac-Man game mechanic, but there's a little more – there's similar strategy worked into it where you can – you have special abilities that help you to avoid the guards, and the idea is just to keep collecting things while avoiding the guards to get a higher score. But it's kind of cool and fun. I don't really understand how it's going to work on a traditional, you know, because I played on a touch interface, so it was easy to draw the routes. So, you know, doing it on a controller, I have no idea. But that's the other game, Nutjitsu. I thought it was really cool and fun. I think it actually made its way to the Windows 8 app marketplace if you have Windows 8. So if you need to see what that's all about, Nutjitsu is there.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, we'll be back with reviews of Assassin's Creed 4, Freedom Cry, and 3. All right, we're back, and we're going to talk about Assassin's Creed 4 Freedom Cry, which is the DLC for, of course, Assassin's Creed 4, starring First Mate Ottaway.
I'm excited to hear about this.
It's pretty cool, and they just actually announced that they're going to be releasing this as standalone, so you're going to be able to download it for, I guess, Xbox One, 360, et cetera, on its own without having Assassin's Creed 4, so you're going to be able to buy it and just play it without actually owning the main title, which is kind of cool. I like that they're doing that. So
interesting direction for DLC.
Yeah, I think it's cool because I think I guess I'll get into it. So you play as Ottaway. If you've played all the way through Assassin's Creed 4, he is Kenway's first mate. He's kind of a stoic, quiet character throughout the main game. Like, I didn't really find myself being very attached to him throughout the main game. I felt like there were other characters that I identified with a whole lot more. And I enjoyed their presence a lot more in the main campaign just because he is so kind of what's the best word to describe him, Scott, than being stoic?
Well, I was going to say that I think his purpose in the narrative kind of served to develop. Is it Edward Kenway?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get the Kenways confused. I think he serves to help develop Edward's character because as they're discussing the missions, he'll ask him questions. You know, and say like, oh, you know, Edward, what do you think about this? There, you know, there was a point where the thought of maybe Edward having something to do with slaves came up. Mm-hmm. So Ottaway was like, you're not going to go get slaves, are you? And Edward was like, Lord, no, man, that's not what we're doing at all. We're doing something else. So I think that he was kind of there to help develop Edward as a character, you know.
He is like very, in terms of like moral compass in Assassin's Creed 4, he is like the most just of all the characters. Mm-hmm. He's not really a pirate. he kind of has like a Wookiee life debt with Edward and hangs out with him and defends him the whole time. But this picks up, I believe, sometime after Assassin's Creed 4, because when you start off and you're playing as Attaway, he has his own ship and his own crew, and you already are an assassin, so you're a member of the Assassin's Guild. And you, at the beginning of the game, state that you don't pirate anymore. You're kind of, you've sworn off a life of piracy, so you don't go around stealing stuff. And then events that transpire, namely a gigantic naval battle followed by like the most insane storm ever in the game, kind of shipwrecks you on a plantation and leads you down a whole new path, which is really kind of cool. First of all, I guess I'll talk about the combat mechanics. He plays a lot differently than Kenway, which is neat. He's much larger and you can feel his weight. He's much, much heavier.
Cool.
He doesn't use like small swords. He uses just a big ass machete, as his main like melee weapon. He still has the wrist blades, but his main melee weapon is this honking machete, which just obliterates guys. I mean, he can just take down groups of guys like nobody's business.
That's awesome.
His main weapon, he doesn't use pistols. He uses a blunderbuss, which is just so immensely overpowered. Like, you can take down probably four guys if you just hip fire the blunderbuss into a group of guys. It just obliterates them.
That's really awesome.
It's really cool. He's a lot heavier. He's not as stealthy and as quick. So he plays a lot differently, and he still has like rope darts. He still has sleeping darts and berserk darts. They don't get rid of those. But his equipment list is still kind of small, which I liked. I think both you and I liked that there was less equipment this time around.
Oh yeah, it was so good. It all made sense too.
Yeah. And so they kept the equipment list a little bit low, which is cool. The thing that I did like is a lot of the unlocks are tied directly to the amount, the number of slaves that you liberate. So I got dropped off on this map, and basically, as I was going around this plantation, I could do a number of different activities to free slaves, and then I'd be given the opportunity to either have them join my ship as crew, or they could join the resistance and fight as Maroons, or a number of different options for freeing the slaves. But the more you freed, the more things you can unlock. So like after you free your 100th slave, you can unlock a better machete and be able to purchase a better machete.
Oh, okay.
So as you're basically going around these different maps and liberating slaves, you can unlock more and more stuff. I think they actually took out elements of the crafting. And so if I'm not mistaken, now you just sell like the pelts and the bones and stuff you get from animals if you happen to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the narrative, I want to say maybe 3 hours in at the most. I didn't get as much time to play it as I'd like, but it's pretty cool. Like, even though he's Connor-esque, he's very quiet and very kind of like, he's a very like a dark kind of sullen character.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely motivated. You know, I think it might be one of the first games to really tackle slavery like this head on. Like, you are literally going through camps and there's like, you know, French people abusing slaves and you're like killing them to free the slaves. I'm like, okay, this is pretty like, you know, this
makes
is
sense, yeah.
Yeah, hitting it head on. So, but really cool. I'm curious to see what DLC they're going to do next. I just saw the numbers today and they shipped something like 10 million copies of this game across all platforms. So it's doing very well.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I don't think we're going to see Assassin's Creed, the franchise, slowing down anytime soon. But definitely, if you're a fan of Assassin's Creed 4 and you've been like skipping out on Freedom Cry, it's cool to play a different protagonist just because of the tweaks in the gameplay.
Awesome. Unfortunately, the only thing I can add to this is that I think as of this time, the standalone version of this DLC is not confirmed for 360 or Xbox One. But otherwise,
oh, it's not.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that doesn't mean it's not coming. It's just not confirmed.
Oh, okay.
So at this particular moment, the game, you know, the DLC is obviously available now if you have Assassin's Creed 4. The standalone version of the DLC will be released on PS4 and PS3, I think on February 19th for about $15. It's $10, right, if you were to buy it standalone. Or not standalone, $10 if you bought it as DLC for AC4. So it's just $5 more to get it if you don't have Assassin's Creed 4. And then I think it comes out on PC on the 25th as standalone content.
Cool. Awesome. Yep.
But I can't wait. It says it features, like, this article I'm looking at says it has about 4+ hours of game content. So sounds like you might be getting close to the end.
Oh, cool.
I also read somewhere else that if you look closely, there are hints scattered throughout this DLC about what the next Assassin's Creed game might be.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, so maybe you can report back to us when you learn more.
Definitely.
So that brings us to the game Threes, which is got a little bit of buzz this past week. It's a game that's designed by Asher Vollmer, illustrated by Greg Woolwind, and scored by, like I said, our bud Jimmy Henson.
Yeah.
Asher was the creator also of Puzzle Juice, which is a game that we played at PAX. I think we played at PAX Prime.
Yeah, and last year.
Yep, that's when we met Asher.
That's also when the Master of the Orange Shorts happened for our longtime listeners.
Yeah.
And Scott brutalized a small child in a versus match.
Don't say it like that.
Hey, come on now.
You manhandled a small child in a
grudge
match.
That's not right.
It was just a friendly puzzle game competition, if you
definitely took advantage of that small child during that puzzle match.
Oh boy.
My God. Just not. It's not right.
Anyways, so Threes, it's sort of the brilliance in this game is sort of its apparent simplicity, even though the game is not very simple, but it's a very tight experience. It's beautifully crafted. The music. Oh, geez. I'm not going to move you off of this, am I?
Continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So this is a game that you could play as a toilet game, if you will. You could also play it for hours and hours on end. It's very simple. You basically get a grid of squares, and tiles will shift their way onto this grid of 16 squares. And the whole idea behind the game is that you try to blend the blocks together, to create threes. So all the blocks that enter the play field have a number on them. And the rules are so simple. The rules are, you can only combine a tile 1 and 2 combined together to make a 3. And then everything above 3 has to combine with tile of the same number. So 3 and 3 make 6, and then you have to make another 6 to combine with that to get 12, and so on and so on. So what you end up getting is you enter into these situations where you get to 48 and you're like, oh my God, I made a 48. And then you make a 96. And it's kind of crazy the way that the game pans out, because there's strategy built in that the game will tell you what the next tile is that's entering the playfield. And you can kind of determine where that tile enters the playfield by the direction that you swipe. So if you swipe to the right, that new tile will enter from the right. If you swipe top to bottom, the new tile will enter in at the top. And because there's 4 squares on each side of the game board, you don't always know where the tile will appear. So it kind of creates this interesting strategy when you're trying to plot out your moves in the game. And then, of course, the game ends when the game board is full and you can no longer make any more matches between the tiles. So it's a really awesome game, has great music. It's something that's very simple to pick up and learn to play, but it's one of those difficult to master. I think right now the game is maybe $2 or $3 on the App Store and on Google Play. Super addicting, super awesome. Support this developer, support Jimmy Henson, pick up this game. It's great.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, the music is super, super exciting. I loved it. So
yeah, it's really good. I'm kind of hoping he's at PAX this year and brings this game so we can chat with him about it, but we'll see.
I hope so as well.
Alright guys, well since it's Sunday, I thought we would do a Sunday-themed Sunday Funday Nequato and ask, what are you up to right now, assuming that you're doing something other than looking at Twitter? And then we actually got some great responses.
Yeah. We did. Thank you guys.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
In the 11th hour, people. I think I was like, I sounded pretty desperate on Twitter. I was like, please help us fill this segment. And a lot of people actually replied, so thank you guys.
I think you wrote something like, you must be doing something. Which then sparked its own interesting conversation.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah.
So the first one was from Jennifer R., Jenny the Pirate. Hi, Jenny. She says, right now I'm really cold. Can winter be over already? We don't really have that problem here in Central Florida, but we hear that around the world the snowpocalypse is happening. So
today was so gorgeous, I have to say, and yesterday for that matter. Yeah, it was like, and I'm not trying to brag because it's freezing cold everywhere right now and snowing all over the place. And I rarely brag about Florida weather because it's generally 400% humidity and like 110 outside.
Yeah.
So, but the past 2 days have been like amazing. I was inside working all day and I'm like, God, I should not be inside right now. It is unbelievable out. Mm. So that'll all end soon. Don't worry, everybody. It's yeah, almost March and it'll immediately be 99 degrees for no reason whatsoever here.
Yep.
No big deal. Justin Bakes at Midtown 583 said, figuring out which kidney to sell to pay my taxes.
Oh,
I feel
brutal.
You on that one. Taxes, man. Yeah. Everybody else is always like, oh, I got money back. And when I was freelancing, I owed every year. And no good. No good.
Rogue Roxy. I can't read. Rogue Roxy at Roxy Ferret says, replaying Dragon Age and DLCs for the umpteenth time.
Very nice. I think that might be Rogue Roxy's very first time sending us a Nequato, so thank you.
I believe so.
The next one's Mr. Patrick Weeks, of course, writer for the Dragon Age team at BioWare. He says, working on Dragon Age Inquisition, which, fucking awesome. Thank you for working on that. He says, also adjusting the fan in Wild West Wild Styles hands because Legos. He was, like, speaking so highly of the Lego movie, it really made me want to go watch it. And I'm actually really eager to go see that.
Everybody is, man. It's crazy. It's getting the best reviews, like, all over the place.
It's awesome. I'm really going to try and
get it. It's got an amazing cast. So
yeah.
That's awesome.
Micah, Dr. Micah at MD Gar says, studying, unfortunately, but I wish I was continuing my game of Don't Starve and hoping Destiny would release early.
Awesome. Yeah, he's been playing Don't Starve, and he's been really liking it.
That's awesome.
Isn't there a beta for Destiny coming soon, or is that... There was
news about it. I thought if you pre-ordered something, you got beta access to
it. I don't know. I don't know that.
Gotcha. Nate B at Nate_B says, working through my photo editing backlog and plotting out photos and designs for the coming week. Busy photo life. That sounds awesome.
Cool.
Productive.
Kate Dollarhide, who's at Kate D on Twitter, she says, about to play a few games of EA's new MOBA, Dawngate. I'm so afraid of MOBAs.
Me too.
When I hear like the P2R gang talk about it, and I get kind of jealous because they have this like, they all play together all the time, and I'm like, I want to play together all the time. Then I'm like, I don't want to do drugs.
We play Battlefield. I mean, that's pretty close. We just got to get Matt involved.
True.
What?
Yeah, Battlefield.
We can I get fire that up on my Xbox first gen?
You can, but you wouldn't be able to play with us.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to interlude here with at Nate B, who responded. He's got an awesome portfolio. I was looking at his photography.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Go to Nate Buchman. BUCHMAN.com. It's good times.
Awesome.
We've got some cool stuff. Where are we? Stumpy Nat?
Yeah.
At our good friend Nat at Stumpy Nat, who's a longtime contributor to the site, says, playing my monk in World of Warcraft. Yes, I went back. Don't judge me.
Ash won't judge you.
Oh, man.
I'm going to judge you a little.
So many times.
I'm just so amazed that people are still playing. It's still huge playership, and like it blows me away. That game will just never end.
You know, I've thought about going back to finish my Imperial Agent character in SWTOR, but I don't know.
Are those servers still running?
Yes, they are. They actually just introduced they opened up the PvP flying mechanic to everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They kind of introduced some kind of open world starship combat system, and now it's available for everybody. So that was kind of the thing that I wanted originally in the game. So that's kind of piqued my interest, if you will.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so Joel at Cliffy Joel says, Elder Elves.
You're doing awesome today.
I know. I think I'm getting hungry.
Super awesome.
He says, Elder Scrolls Online Beta. Ask for Friday off just for this. That's awesome.
Anjuman says, eating grainless porridge. What? Grainless porridge. Talking about League of Legends and debating if I really want to go all the way upstairs to shower.
That is a trek. That's a long trek.
Maybe she just wanted to keep talking about LOL all night and not shower. think it's cold where she is. I saw a picture of her with a sophisticated snowman.
Yeah, she's in Portland now.
Wearing a monocle. Not her, the snowman.
Oh,
obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. These are the droids you are looking for, Canada. Another great podcast says, actually recording our own podcast, and a quick recap of The Walking Dead, then on to predictions and speculations.
Nice.
Coles, at Michael Coles, says, I'm in your kitchens eating all of your food. Move along.
I love nice. Coles.
Bunny Hanlon, who's at Winged Lioness on Twitter, says, cutting and measuring out pieces for my Bastila cosplay. Distractions highly
welcome. That sounds awesome, too.
Nice. I asked to see that cosplay when it's done. So hopefully she sends us a pic.
Nate Hales at NHales80 says, watching LCS, dude. There you go. He called it, Ash. Curse versus Team Solomid.
Good luck with that.
What does that say? Bergson, man.
Bjergsen.
Bjergsen. I think.
I assume Bjergsen is what he types when he sneezes.
Yeah.
He's like, that's him actually typing while sneezing, I think is what just happened there.
Bjergsen. I'm going to guess that it is a character in LOL.
I'm going to guess it's a player.
I think it's a team, or maybe a player, yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Eric, eChap33 says, laying in bed with the flu. Blah. That sucks. Sorry, man. Feel better. Yeah. That's rough.
And then our own Hillary Heskett Shapiro says, dusting my chandeliers.
You gotta get a chandelier.
You gotta get a chandelier. Like this one.
She actually posted on Facebook a picture of her chandelier, which I always thought was a joke because we always make fun of her mansion. But it is kind of mansion-like, and there is a very pristine and ornate chandelier.
I think it's pretty cool. It's a cool chandelier.
She has multiple chandeliers in her house.
We're gonna need to show up. The picture of the SNL sketch that we are referencing right now.
Indeed.
Very nice. Cool, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 139. We got some cool stuff coming up in the near future. What else? Oh, yeah. If you guys want to follow us on Twitter, and that's at NerdAppropriate, you can do that. And you can email us directly, and that's Matt, Scott, Ash, and Hillary with one L at NerdAppropriate.com. We have some new picks and stuff up at Facebook, and that's just Facebook/NerdAppropriate. And we'll be back next week with an all-new episode and other crazy stuff. So see you guys later.
Have a good week, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, have a good week.
Bye, everyone.
You ready?
Yeah. I'm recording.
You recording?
I'm recording myself, which isn't always a given.
That's good.
Yep.
You're recording us as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always recording you guys, even when you're sleeping.
Sweet.